Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide with the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Thursday, the 27th of April, 2023. We are live on location here at Truax Field, or pretty darn close there to it, at the command headquarters of the Wisconsin Air National Guard and our Wisconsin military headquarters as well. We are very thankful to the 115th, in particular General David May, for allowing us to be here today and join our conversation in the first couple of hours with he and many of the people from his fine staff and crew. And we are going to continue to broadcast our third hour from here before we head out at 11 o'clock. Very thankful, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. This is exactly when I had the opportunity to join Civic Media, Mr. Zommers. This is exactly what I had hoped to do.
Yeah, well, we're living the dream.
We're living it, really. I mean, this is, and again, to the vision of our CEO, Sage Weil, to be in community and to talk about things, all aspects, right, of our community. That's what it's all about. And certainly our Air National Guard, Army National Guard in general here in the state of Wisconsin is a part of our community. And as was told by each of our guests over the last couple of hours here, they are from here, they live and work here and are a part of our national defense system. So we are so very happy to have them with us throughout the morning. Happy to be here at the 115th and talking about the A-35s. And as we were on break there, Sergeant Peck looked at me and she said, "You hear that?" And I said, "Yep." And it was a jet taken off, very likely an A-35
or F-35
F-35. Right, training. We're not trying to alarm anyone. There's no active mission, I don't believe. But you know, there's lots of training going on. So we're gonna be here this hour taking your phone calls as well. 715-388-7155. If you'd like to join us, talk a little bit about military issues, the F-35s. Whatever is on your mind this morning, love to hear from you. 715-388-7155. He'll take your call off the air and he'll give me the high sign. He'll wave at me or he'll give me a selected finger.
It won't be that one.
All right, very good. I appreciate that. What a kind guy. Weather forecast for you for across the state of Wisconsin today. This is the day, by the way, you're going to want to get out and enjoy the weather if you can all possibly do so, because the next few days, not quite so nice. First of all, at WRCE, news from the center in Richland Center today, partly sunny, a high of 65 degrees. Great day to be outside, enjoy the weather. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 38. And then for tomorrow, partly sunny, a slight chance of a shower and a high of 67 degrees tomorrow. Then after tomorrow, Friday night and the rest of the weekend, going to be rainy, going to be blustery, a high on Sunday of only 46, a high on Monday of 49. So weather taking a turn for the worst after today and midday tomorrow. Up in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio this morning, a chance for showers, a high near 58 degrees. Then for tonight, a slight chance of showers, a low of 41. Tomorrow, Friday, partly sunny, a slight chance of showers, and a high near 64 degrees. WLAK, Lake Air Radio Land, scattered showers, a high today of 63 today. For tonight, scattered showers and a low of 46. And for tomorrow, scattered showers and a high of 56 degrees in Lake Air Radio Land. So we are still in that kind of weird season where we've got a little bit of snow here and there, a snowflake, not out of the possibility over the weekend in parts of Wisconsin. But they're saying, Kara Foster telling us, if we can make it through this week, next weekend looks to be a lot better, much more early spring-like. Too bad the weather's not so great. The Crazy Legs Run is in Madison this weekend, and a lot of people are going to be running and walking. Looks like scattered showers throughout the day here in Madison on Saturday, and into most of the weekend as well. So if you're planning on running in Crazy Legs in Madison, dress appropriately, because it's going to be a tough one in terms of weather. So the moral of the story, again, get out and enjoy it. Well, you can. Broadcasting live this morning from the headquarters of the 115th at Truax Field here in Madison, Wisconsin. 11 minutes now past the hour of 10 o'clock. Breaking this morning, again, just to update this a little bit, Jerry Springer, longtime talk show host in a syndicated format, also former mayor of Cincinnati, is dead this morning at the age of 79. Authorities are not saying what he died from. No foul play apparently suspected. Could have very well be just from natural causes. But Jerry Springer passing away. News this morning has been confirmed. The former talk show host and mayor of Cincinnati dead at the age of 79 this morning. Also, the Milwaukee Bucks season happens to be dead as well. Jimmy Butler will haunt the nightmares of the Milwaukee Bucks for a long time. So will the memories of the Bucks' late game execution in this short stay in the playoffs. It was a surreal scene late in the evening on Wednesday at Fiserv Forum after the Bucks' 128-126 overtime loss to the Miami Heat that ended the season of the number one overall seeding in the NBA playoffs. While Bob Marley's Three Little Birds, with its familiar chorus of "Everything's Gonna Be All Right," blared ironically over the arena's sound system, there were stunned fans who couldn't quite process the 4-1 series loss to the eighth-seeded Heat, the sixth time in NBA history that that has happened in the first round. It was almost too much to wrap their brains around. A 16-point collapse in the fourth quarter, the second straight late double-digit meltdown by Milwaukee. Again, the Heat, 128. The Bucks, 126. Stay with us. Tom Allball Show is continuing on live at both the Truax after this on the 5th Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The time now is just approaching the 10:15 hour here in hour number three. We're broadcasting live on location from Truax Field here, or darn close to it, just on the other side of the fence at the Wisconsin military headquarters here. 115th is what we're celebrating here, the new fighter jets, the F-35s. So thankful for Brigadier General David May and his team to be with us this morning, including a real-life pilot. How about that, Mr. Zomertz? Pretty cool.
And not just any pilot either.
Right.
The first female test pilot for the F-35s, and a very good one at that.
Very, very good one. And also along with the pilot major, Rachel Wineski, and then we've got, Colonel Willa Panzer. The colonel is in charge, or one of the people in charge, the ground crew that gets those planes ready. So it's been a great morning. It also had Sergeant Peck stop by. She may be back just a little bit later in the hour to a broadcaster, a journalist, an Army person. What more do you want? I mean, she does it all and watching over our little show here as well. We appreciate her help this morning. And along with Captain Peter as well, did a great job of helping organize this whole thing. Takes a team. Right? Wherever you're at. So we appreciate the entire team here at the military headquarters this morning. Want to welcome your calls this morning on shared revenue in the state of Wisconsin. Do you understand what, I guess don't call it, I shouldn't say don't call in, but I'm not asking to call in and say, do you understand it or not? But if you understand shared revenue, let's put it to you this way. Do you believe that more of your tax dollars should be sent back to local communities? Do you believe more of your tax dollars should go back to your local communities? 715-388-7155. Give us a call this morning. Love to hear from you. 715-388-7155. Would you like to have more of your tax dollars returned to you? Because that's essentially what shared revenue is in the state of Wisconsin. Want to turn to this story in Wispolitics this morning on Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux telling Wispolitics that one of the final details to work out in a shared revenue package is how much to set aside for reward, or how much to set aside to reward communities that consolidate services. So in other words, if you have Town A or Village A and you have Village B, and Village A and B each have a fire department, Well, they decide to have a consolidated fire department to make it town A and B fire department. That's a consolidated service.
Is that a good idea, though?
Well, it can be. It can be.
Could it potentially mean that it is the same organization just in two different buildings, so they cooperate more and they share some staff, but they still have a fire department in each village, potentially?
Essentially. Yeah, I can, you know, I was on the city council in Richland Center for a couple of terms, and Richland Center had a fire department, and then you had the town of Richland that had a fire department. And so they consolidated those services into the Richland Fire District. And thereby that the folks who volunteered in the town of Richland Fire Department, they then became part of essentially the Richland Center Fire Department. The town got rid of a couple of their trucks, as memory serves, and the town got more protection with more equipment by consolidating like that. That's just kind of a grassroots example. But to your point, yes, if you do it the right way, you can save taxpayers money because theoretically, maybe there will only be one building to have to maintain and pay upkeep on.
Or maybe fewer administrative costs or something.
Sure, something like that. But if it's not done the right way, sure, it can certainly affect services. But as it relates to this story, Republicans in the state Senate are trying to decide how much to set aside and reward communities that consolidate services. So they're saying basically, yeah, if you're going to save money, we want to reward you by giving you more shared revenue. The article continues in WisPolitics, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican of Rochester, downplayed that as a sticking point yesterday, saying he hopes to unveil a bill today, basically, or tomorrow. Let's check the date of this the story here. 26. So yeah, he's hoping to unveil something maybe today, Thursday, or Friday at the latest. Sources told WisPolitics last week that Assembly Republicans were pushing for what they're calling an innovation fund. Communities that consolidate services would be eligible for money that they fund to help cover the cost of the shared services for a set period of time. The sources said talks include using up to $1 billion of the state's $7.1 billion surplus to set aside in an ongoing innovation fund. Lemmy Hughes said that was, quote, pretty accurate, unquote. The two caucuses met for more than 3 hours on Monday night. He says, I certainly understand what they are trying to do with it, Lemmy Hughes said in a brief interview before he testified on his tax bill. During Assembly Republicans' media availability ahead of the floor period, Voss said he's pushing for the program because Wisconsin is a, quote, demographically challenged state, unquote, with very minor annual population increases, and the fund is aimed at doing more with less, quote, in a smart way. On that, I kind of agree with him. I can understand what Voss is saying that, look, I mean, Wisconsin is not growing at the rate as some states out there, so that you kind of have to get a little bit creative, right? But that part I agree with him on.
So is this a Republican bill that is making use of some of our surplus and suggesting something that, if done right, actually makes sense?
I know. Shocking
based on their recent other suggestions, you know, regarding gun laws and things, this is shocking, but in a good way.
In a good way. And look, we have to give credit where credit's due here. It's nice to actually see, and I know Luke Mathers had a story, was mentioning this, I believe, on Dueling Tangents the other day, that, you know, there was a sit-down over the weekend, I believe, between Republican leaders and Democratic leaders. And I said, you know what? I give them all applause, at least for a first step. And, you know, from a political standpoint, maybe some of it's just for show. I don't know. But I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, because without at least being willing to sit down in good faith with each other at the table, we can't move forward for the betterment of the state of Wisconsin. So I applaud them and thank them for on both sides.
Yeah, me too.
Republicans and Democrats.
Like you said, even if it is for show, before for show, they'd be willing to just be like, I'm not talking to you. You're wrong, even though I didn't listen to what you said. And now just sitting down with them is a huge deal for the way things have been going.
It's a step in the right direction, as they say. Article continues here with politics, and I believe this is Robin Voss speaking. It would say to municipalities that we want to be able to coordinate their services. The state would incentivize that and help them be able to offer the same or better services without caring about the color of the squad car or the uniform that someone wears when they respond to a call. So in other words, making it easier for local municipalities to basically share revenue. Voss said he believes the Assembly and Senate Republicans are, quote, on the cusp of an agreement. But at the end of the day, the devil is in the details, he said. If there's no agreement with their Senate counterparts, Assembly Republicans will hope to release their plan to begin a public discussion on the proposal. Under the framework that Republicans have been discussing, the state would put aside one penny of the state's 5-cent sales tax for shared revenue. So 1 cent of every 5 cents on the sales tax. That pot would cover a series of state aids, including payments to counties and municipalities. The framework also includes allowing a higher sales tax for Milwaukee, as well as a new one dedicated to the city of Milwaukee. The revenue from those sales tax collections would be dedicated to meeting the county and the city's pension obligations. LeMahieu said Republicans are still working to finalize how large of a sales tax increase would be needed to meet the pension obligations. Still, he supports supports the approach to helping the county and city cover those costs. Under the framework, new employees would be added to the state pension system. The sales taxes would sunset once the obligations are covered for current and retired employees. That process, of course, could take decades. But I believe it's the best way to address it, LeMahieu said. So I think that's an important point there, because we're talking about putting money into the city, or pardon me, the city and the county of Milwaukee, and basically helping them with their pension fund. Get a little bit nervous when, and not that I'm opposed to that, but I'm all for helping people get their pensions that they're vested into. But again, based on my work inside the Capitol, one of my former bosses, Dale Schultz, was the co-chair of the basically the state pension fund, this legislative committee that oversaw it. I can tell you based on experience that Wisconsin has one of the highest rated, most solvent and well-run pension funds in the country. And so anything you're going to do to change that model, to add employees to it, change funding of it, you want to make sure it's done A, very carefully, and B, in truly a bipartisan manner. State pension fund is nothing to mess around with, right? It's nothing to go in there willy-nilly and futz with. Because the way it's done now, politics, I can tell you, are not involved in how the pension fund is run. It's run straight down the middle. State employees' assets are protected. Investments are made in a conservative financial manner. And everybody's doing well. And that's due to a lot of the good work of the men and women who run the state pension, the Wisconsin Trust Fund. Do a tremendous job at it. So it'll be very interesting to see. Very interesting to see what the Democrats have to say about this proposal as well. But again, we'll see what the proof is in the pudding, as they say. We'll see what they actually come up with on the floor. But again, this is the very fact that they're having discussions about helping the local municipalities and getting more shared revenue is a first step. I would say, about time. Republicans controlled the state legislature and the governor's office for 8 years and didn't really see fit to do much in terms of doing things creatively to get more money back to locals. So, but hey, we'll take what we can get when we can get it, I guess, at this point. So good that they're doing something now. Take your calls as well, 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. We'd love to hear from you what's on your mind this morning in terms of the F-35s here at Truax Field in Madison, Wisconsin. Also taking your call maybe on the Bucks loss last night. How are you rubbing salve on the Bucks loss wound? Come back, more with all of that live. We're on location at Truax Field here in Madison, Wisconsin. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The only way to get what you want is to become a human yourself.
Can you do that?
My dear sweet child, that's what I do. It's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. A little mermaid there. Ursula.
Yep. You know, I thought...
Great character.
You mentioned talking about Disney and talking about Ron DeSantis, so I thought I'd play a song from a Disney villain.
Very good. I like that. I like that a lot. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live here on location near Truax Field and home of the Wisconsin military base. We appreciate all of them this morning. I was talking earlier about the arrival of the F-35s and exciting times here for the 115th Air Wing. And our many thanks to Brigadier General David May for allowing us to be here on the base and all this fine staff. And we thank all of them. We'll be joined maybe one more segment here at the end by Sergeant Peck. We'll bring her back for maybe a little Army trivia because I got it wrong. I thought I talked to all these Air people this morning, Air Force folks, National Guard Air. Turns out I got it wrong with Shazammer. She's Army. So we'll pay attribute to the Army before we leave here today. Yes, so we want to turn to a story here. We've been following this for a while. This whole controversy surrounding Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and the Walt Disney Company. And it continues to get odder and odder. Not O-T-T-E-R, but O-D-D. Is that a word? O-D-D-E-R. More odd, maybe, is the way we should say it. But Disney has cast Ron DeSantis as the villain in a story of good versus evil. After more than a year-long battle with the bombastic Florida governor, the entertainment behemoth filed a blistering lawsuit in federal court, not mincing words, as it alleged that it had been the victim of a targeted campaign of government retaliation, unquote, for having the gall to speak out against the so-called Don't Say Gay bill. Disney regrets that it has come to this, the company said in a lawsuit, arguing that it found itself, quote, in the regrettable position because it expressed a viewpoint the governor and his allies did not like, Disney added. In America, the government cannot punish you for speaking your mind, unquote. The lawsuit, the culmination of ever-growing hostilities between the Magic Kingdom and the Sunshine State, was filed moments after the DeSantis-appointed board moved to recover power that it had lost over Disney's special taxing district. Earlier this year, Disney quietly outmaneuvered the board and struck a decades-long deal to ensure it retained authority over the land around its sprawling Orlando area theme parks. DeSantis responded to the lawsuit by issuing a statement through his communication director. Quote, we are unaware of any legal right, that is, that a company has to operate its own government or maintain special privileges not held by other businesses in the state, the spokesperson said. This lawsuit is yet another unfortunate example of their hope to undermine the will of the Florida voters and operate outside the bounds of the law. Speaking at a press conference in Jerusalem on Thursday, that's right, DeSantis is doing a world travel. He has not announced he's going to run for president of the United States, but yet he's doing this world tour to apparently give him some international street cred. DeSantis blasted Disney, saying the company did not, quote, want to pay the same taxes as everybody else. I don't think the suit has merit. I think it's political, DeSantis said, adding that Floridians understood that Disney's tax status was an issue in last November's elections. Quote, and not only did they reelect me, but we did better in that area of the state than any Republican has done in quite some time. Regardless of what the DeSantis team is saying, legal experts spoke to CNN and others on Wednesday and signaled that Disney is, in fact, on firm footing. Quote, "It is a serious First Amendment case," Floyd Abrams, the renowned First Amendment attorney of Pentagon Papers fame, told CNN. Abrams said he expected the case to survive a motion to dismiss by Florida. First Amendment attorney agreed, saying that Disney had put together, quote, "a powerful complaint. First Amendment arguments are extremely strong." DeSantis had admitted, indeed bragged about, retaliating against Disney to punish it for its speech on an issue of public concern and importance, they said. That is a classic First Amendment violation. So you see what happened here? For those of you that have not been following this story, it really comes down to one person's pettiness, in my opinion. You had DeSantis put out this, the so-called Don't Say Gay bill, where essentially he told teachers in schools, you can't talk to kids that might. And this happens frequently, where all across America, where kids might not have a solid home life, and for whatever reason, they don't feel they can talk to a parent. And so they talk to someone at school. Could be a teacher, could be a guidance counselor, for heaven's sakes. The people who are literally trained in child psychology and to deal with kids and their questions about life. Just somebody to talk to. And DeSantis and the Republicans in Florida passed this bill saying that essentially you can't even talk about these issues if you're an educator or you face consequences. So the Walt Disney Company at first, largest employer in that part of Florida, Central Florida, creates tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of jobs, brings in multi-million dollars a year to the Florida economy. And Disney at first didn't say anything. Then they spoke out and said, look, this isn't right. It's just not right. You can't be banning books, and you know, including some Disney books or movies, because you don't like what they say. It's just, it's absolutely against the Constitution, First Amendment. Well, DeSantis didn't like that. So what happened when Disney was created years and years ago, the Walt Disney World, Walt Disney was a smart guy. Because he bought swampland. He understood there was nothing there. It was mosquito, alligator infested swampland. And he said, all right, if I'm going to put in a lot of money into this thing and make it a productive tourist destination, I want control over it. Which, you know, it happens all the time. There are places in Madison, Milwaukee, you know, the Twin Cities, probably Green Bay, have essentially gated communities. And what happens in that gated community in terms of infrastructure and building is regulated by that association. So it happens in the private sector all the time. Business park. Doesn't mean that it is its own individual entity. It just means that that group of people have control over what happens in that park, in that area. Disney set up the same thing. Exact same thing. And so DeSantis came in with Republicans as retaliation for Disney speaking out and said, we're going to pass legislation that gets rid of the Reedy Creek District. And we're going to usurp Disney's own power. Well, Disney being smart and having some of the best attorneys in the world, they already had contingency plans for if this ever happened. So they went in to the Reedy Creek Board of Directors and passed a bill or passed, it was all done in the light of day, all according to open records law, all legal. They passed an internal bill, a law, that said, you know what? We're going to give all of our power to Disney directly, all legal. And of course, DeSantis went nuts and the Republicans went nuts because they went in the next day with the DeSantis appointees and they were basically powerless. So now DeSantis and Republicans are going back and passing more legislation to essentially, in layman's terms, get rid of or dissolve the board entirely and take back their power so they can tell Disney where they can build things, the how high, and all this other stuff. By the way, Disney will still pay taxes no matter what happens. Still one of the biggest taxpayers in Florida. So now Disney's taking him to court under the First Amendment laws. And DeSantis has backed himself up in this own trap because he's on the record. You understand? He's on the record as saying part of the reason they've taken this legislative action is because of what Disney said. What they said. Not because they broke a law. Not because there's any sort of violation of ordinances. Not accusing them of any criminal wrongdoing. Punishing them for what they said. Well, last time I checked, free speech was a guaranteed constitutional amendment. It's part of, and I'm not by any means, five men and women here making it political about them. I'm just simply saying that the men and women who put on the uniform here in Wisconsin's military, they actually know the Constitution because they swear to protect and defend it at home and abroad. Part of the Constitution is guaranteeing free speech, even when we don't like it. Doesn't matter whether that's from the left or the right. One of the great things about this country is that we're able to speak our mind. Now, of course, you can't go into a theater and yell fire. There are some restrictions for safety's sake like that. But no matter what side you're on the fence, on whether you believe teachers should be speaking to kids about health issues, about bodily issues, a private company in America has the right to say their opinion about an issue. It's a guaranteed constitutional right, free speech. And now you have a sitting governor and a legislature on the record saying they're coming after a private company and making it punitive, potentially costing Disney millions and millions of dollars. They want to be punitive and use their power as a government entity to shut down private free speech. Last time I checked, that was called authoritarianism. Last time I checked, that was the tactics of dictators, despots, and thugs around the world. And last time I checked, that is why the men and women of our military put on the uniform, one of them, is to make sure that kind of thing never happens in the United States of America. To protect the freedoms of speech, to protect the Bill of Rights, to protect our constitutional freedoms. As you heard here today, part of the magic, if you will, part of the reason that our men and women do such a marvelous job is they come from diverse backgrounds and they focus on those things that unify them, freedom, democracy, protecting that thereof. Carrying out missions in the air, the ground, at sea. One of the greatest books I ever read was Colin Powell's autobiography. And he talks in there about a deployment before one of the Iraqi missions. And the great reporter, former reporter Sam Donaldson, ABC News, on the night before the mission was set to go, asked one of the young soldiers, I said, how do you feel? Aren't you afraid? And the soldier replied, I'm not afraid because I have my family with me. And someone else said, tell him again. He didn't hear you. He said, I'm not afraid because I have my family with me and I know we have each other's backs. And Colin Powell comes back after telling that story in the book to say, that's what we need more of in America. We need less screeching at one another, less yelling at one another, and more understanding one another, more supporting one another, more having each other's backs. Because as diverse and sometimes wacky of a family as it is, America is a family. And we come from all different places, all different cultures, different religions. Some people don't have religion. But we're bound together by the tenets of freedom and democracy. The ideals of America. That by working together, we can still make this country the best it could possibly be. And that's why I have so much respect for the men and women who put on the uniform. Back with more after this. This is the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, live on location here at Truax Field, or darn near close to it, right next door here on the Wisconsin Military Campus. Pleasure to be here along with so many great folks today, including General David May, the commanding officer. We appreciate General May for allowing us on the facility today. Joined here, our last segment, by our unofficial co-host for the hour. It is Sergeant Amber Peck. She is a communications specialist with Wisconsin Army National Guard. And amongst, how do you feel when you're surrounded by all these airmen people? Are there more Army people here than meets the eye?
In this building?
Yeah.
There's a mix of both. All and right. I feel like I don't know how to talk to them because I don't know their rank.
Oh, really? Now, is that a thing? Like, because you have to call everybody, like, you just know, sir or ma'am, or is it general so-and-so or major so-and-so?
Sir, ma'am is an easy way to go.
Yeah.
But also so is good morning.
Right.
Good morning.
Hi. All right. Very good. Very good. So yeah, is there a little rivalry between the air and the Army people in the building?
No, we're definitely super professional in here.
Keywords in here. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get like together like for a softball team or a tug of war outside the building
Well, there's pickleball downstairs.
Oh, really? A little pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
A little pickleball challenge between the Army and Air Division there, maybe.
Big bracket, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. All right, we're gonna finish up the show here with a little trivia for you. That's what's trivia, but just fun facts.
Okay.
10 things that maybe you know, but most people may not know about the Army. So we'll focus on Army because you're in the Army National Guard. Did you know the Army was tasked with mapping America, including the Lewis and Clark Expedition? Army officers were some of the first American citizens to see Pikes Peak and the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
I did not know that.
No, I didn't.
I consider myself kind of well-versed in history. I'll be honest, I did not know that there were Army people with Lewis and Clark on the expedition.
Army map makers.
Yeah. The Army is very good at making maps, right?
Yeah, they gotta be.
They gotta be. Absolutely. Here we played the song. The Army was the last service branch to adopt an official song on Veterans Day of 1956. After World War II, I didn't know that. The Army Goes Along was so declared. Hmm. You just sang this recently?
I did, yes. At a ceremony, we sang it. We sang it for like official purposes,
right?
Usually.
Mm-hmm. Not on the top 10 list in your Spotify.
No, it is not on my phone.
Not on your phone. But still a great song.
It's a good song. I know it. I know all the words.
That's fantastic. We used to come out, we used to do Academy Day here and for encourage kids to, high school kids to sign up for different service academies. And we'd have the Army National Guard band here and they'd play all the different service songs. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, one of my favorite times of the day.
It definitely makes you feel a certain way.
Right?
Yeah.
A little patriotic juices flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic. Okay, next fact. 24 U.S. presidents served in the Army. All right. Including state militias that supported it during the American Revolution and the Civil War. Wow. 24 U.S. presidents out of 46 that we're at or so.
That's a good kind of prereq.
Yeah.
I wonder how many are air, though, you know?
Well, that's true. Well, I mean, the Air Force came in later. I mean, Marines was first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Army after that, I think.
Maybe.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think so. I think as someone who is in the military, when your commander in chief has served, that's offers a little bit of extra pep on the step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's see. And two of them are connected in the famous painting, Washington Crossing the Delaware. Great painting. The man holding the flag alongside future president George Washington is future president James Monroe.
Hmm.
I did not know that.
No.
There's a Monroe Street here in Madison named after him.
Yes.
Wow. I'm learning something new here. Let's see. There are Army astronauts. Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either. Who wear astronaut wings. One is retired Colonel Douglas Wheelock, who logged 178 days in space after serving as the first active duty soldier to command the International Space Station.
Wow. What a title.
An Army soldier commanding the space. Now, who would have thought that?
No.
I mean, you think, well, it has to be an Air Force person, right?
Of course.
Maybe a Navy air pilot.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. There seems to be a little friction between the Navy and the Army, or the Navy and the Air Force pilots.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I mean, they're both trying to control airspace.
But you haven't got a dog in that fight because you're Army, so you're better than both of them.
Oh, no, yeah. Different level.
Or so the Army says, right? Yeah, absolutely. let's see. Who else we got? What else we got here? If the Army was a city. All right, here, I'll give you this is a form of a trivia question. If the Army was a city, Sergeant, it would be the blank largest in the United States. If the Army were a city, like where would it rank? 1 through 25 would be the blank largest city. In the United States.
I don't maybe like 2 or 3, you know, room to grow.
I would say high as well, 10th, but still 10th largest city. Because I mean, you think about, I think New York is still largest, and then Los Angeles, and then Houston or Chicago after that. But still, the 10th largest, if the Army were a city, the 10th largest in the United States. The Army owns so much land that if it were a state, it would be larger than Hawaii and Massachusetts combined.
Wow.
I did not know that. And one more here. The oldest active duty infantry until its famous 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment, also known as the Old Guard, stood up in 1784, the 3rd is an official ceremony unit, an escort to the President of the United States, and is also in charge of the changing of the guard ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown and the Old Guard service, the American Legion's Distinguished Service Medal in 2016. Ever been to the Tomb of the Unknown?
No, but it's on my bucket list.
We highly encourage it. It's so hard to put into words. You say the hair stood up with goosebumps, and those certainly things did, but just in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because the precision these folks do it with, the exact, I think it's exactly 30 steps in between, mm-hmm. and the clicking of the heels, the way they hold the rifles, and I'm 365 days a year, rain, snow, cold, doesn't matter.
No, the commitment is honorable. They recently allowed the public to lay wreaths or flowers or whatever, like a very rare opportunity, and I was really trying to get out there. I couldn't make it happen, but that would have been so cool.
Well, encourage you. Thank you for your service, Sergeant. Thank you. Really appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you for your support.
Well, our pleasure, and it's been a great privilege to be here today on the 115 at Volk Field, or Oval Field, at Truax Field. We thank General David May. We thank Major Rachel Wodetsky. We thank Colonel Willa Panzer, and we also thank Captain Peter as well, and of course Sergeant Amber Peck, who has been here as our unofficial co-host, and our all of both Alice as well, who is helping on the civilian side. We appreciate all of them. We appreciate all of you for listening. Stay tuned as goes Wisconsin with Kristen and Jane are next. And Mr. Zomers, we appreciate all your work back in the studio. We'll be back in our home tomorrow. Until then, signing off from on the campus.